Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Feel the fear? Do it anyway.
I never really felt like I could be honest with anyone because I was just as miserable about my weight as everyone in my family was. But when someone says something to you like, oh, you have such a pretty face. If you would just lose that weight, you could have any guy you wanted. In my head, I heard, oh, well, you're really, you know, you have a nice face, but everything else is the pits. And so it just became a secret addiction, really, where I kept it to myself. And I didn't feel like I could trust people in my life with the most sincere struggles that I was having.
From the studios of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. In just a moment, you're going to hear part one of a conversation that I was privileged to have not too long ago with a woman who came into a television show with a lot to lose. And she lost it. But the good news is, in losing the weight, she also gained a lot of her worth. And today on the program, Julie Haddon, our featured guest today. Julie has written a book about her experience called Fat Chance. She was on NBC's program, The Biggest Loser, and just missed winning out. But she gained so much more than winning the $250,000 prize. And she's got a very, very encouraging story. It was a very stormy and rainy morning at the Homeward Studios when I had the chance to talk with Julie Haddon. Here's part one. And welcome to Homeward. Special day on the broadcast here. We're calling it A Biggest Loser Who Gained Her Worth. And the biggest loser, and this is so terrible, Julie, to call you the biggest loser, but you're probably used to it now, right? Julie Haddon is with us.
I actually enjoy being called a loser.
You were on The Biggest Loser season number 4.
Yes.
And you were the first runner-up.
I was.
You lost 45% of your body weight and have kept it off.
Yes.
Which is no easy feat, because I realize when you're on, for anyone who's listening to Homeward right now, has not seen The Biggest Loser.
Oh, my.
this is not American Idol as far as reality shows go. I mean, that's hard to be sequestered and have to sing and have people vote. But what you guys go through in terms of the physical and went through in the physical torture. I mean, describe a typical day for us on The Biggest Loser. What was that like? Because remembering, of course, that these people are starting out as morbidly obese, who haven't been able to move a lot anyway, and then you have to go through what kind of day?
Well, you know, I wanted to say to the trainers, do you not see that we're fat? I mean, what are you thinking, Mr. Lincoln?
Yeah.
No, you would start off, a typical day for us would, you know, you would rise early in the morning. And because it's a reality TV show, I thought someone was going to cook for us and clean and, you know, it's going to be like fat camp.
Yeah.
No. Mm-mm. We had to do everything I had to do at home.
Wow.
Only add working out and interviews.
With a microphone on and cameras all around.
Exactly.
You. Okay.
But you would wake up in the morning and usually our trainers would have given us homework the night before for that morning.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it was specific, like, you know, I want an hour on the treadmill at, you know, such and such speed, such and such rate. And we would get that done. Or sometimes they would just say, have an hour in before I get here.
Okay.
So we'd do an hour in the morning and then we would eat breakfast and then your trainer would show up. And that was the most miserable part of the whole day because usually, like, Jillian was my trainer. And so she would take me for like an hour by myself. And I would just pray. I mean, I had butterflies in my stomach, like, oh, please let her have car trouble, Lord, please. I don't want to, you know, you'd just be so.
So the trainers didn't stay on the site with you?
No, they didn't. They went home every night. And so you would have, an hour, hour and a half alone with them. And then she would do some type of group session. And then you would go and have lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And then she would do another group session. And then when she left for the day, she would leave you, you know, 2, maybe 3 hours of homework.
Okay.
So you're talking, you know, a good 4 to 6, 7 hours. And in between that, you had interviews and little things like you had to do your dishes and, you know,
just like home.
Wash your clothes.
Yeah.
Because, and not, you know, not enough people did that enough. You know, like,
right.
You know, I was like, you stink. You need to wash your clothes.
I was going to say, your mom instincts would take over there saying, I don't care if we're on The Biggest Loser. You need to clean your dishes up because I'm not doing it for you.
Yeah. You would be surprised.
Yeah.
They really should show more, you know, keep the camera in the kitchen more because a lot of fights break out.
Yeah, I would like to see that. Now, now, this was a period of time where you and your husband, Mike, is sitting in studio with us. You were whisked away. I mean, 250,000 people try out for the show. 18 in your season were selected, and they just pretty much snatched you away and said, you're going and you won't be able to see your family for weeks.
Yeah, you know, it was funny because it actually took a year for me to be cast on the show.
And
Up until season four, they only had one show a year. And now because of the popularity, it's back to back. But, you know, it took so long to get to that casting, you know, the last casting call. And then they take you and fly you out to L.A. for a week. And if you make it, you stay. And if you don't, you come home. And so, you know, I was in a hotel in seclusion, you know, with nothing but a phone and a computer, and I would talk to my husband every day. And the night that we made it, they told us at about 11 o'clock at night, and they said, you have 1 hour to call home, to call work, to call whoever you need to, and then we're coming to take your computers, your cell phones, any type of, you know, outside communication will be cut off from this point on. So when I told my husband, I was like, I made it, and he was like, well, where are you going? I said, I don't know. When will you be home? I don't know. You know. Well, can I call you? I don't know.
Oh, wow. So. That must have been tough. And you're at that time, you've got a six-year-old at home, and his dad is now becoming Mr. Mom.
Yes, which ended up being a wonderful thing. But, you know, as a mom who poured everything into her child to the point of neglecting myself, I was miserable because, you know, I missed kindergarten graduation and things that were important to me.
Yeah.
And I thought it was cruel at the time that the Biggest Loser's producers would do something like that. But in retrospect, I really think it's an important part of the process because it takes away your comfort, your enablers.
Right.
You know, and for me, you know, I had always been known as the funny fat girl.
Yeah.
And when I got there and was living with people who wanted to vote me out and, you know, spending every day with a trainer who beat me up and yelled at me, you know, I had to determine the source of my strength very quickly. And I realized that, you know, being the funny fat girl wasn't quite so funny.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting. We're talking about your book, which is called Fat Chance, Losing the Weight, Gaining My Worth by Julie Haddon, who was a first runner-up on Biggest Loser Season 4 on NBC, and talking about your faith, because did you learn a lot about your walk with the Lord? When did your walk with the Lord start? I guess let's go all the way back. When did you start your faith journey?
I became a Christian at the age of 13.
Okay.
And, you know, my whole life I had spent trying to honor God. And what I realized throughout this process is that, you know, we're taught to treat our bodies like a temple, and I treated mine like a fairground. And so I really felt like there was a wall between God and I. And when I got there, he's all I had. And so I had some uncomfortable conversations with him, you know, like, I feel like you're mad at me, God, and I'm here in this place, and I'm miserable, and I'm hot, and I stink, and I'm sweaty, and I'm hungry. And, you know, why am I here to begin with? Yeah. And throughout this process, he showed me so much about myself.
Wow.
And I think the most valuable thing I learned was that he wasn't mad at me. He was madly in love with me. And that changed everything for me.
That's neat. Do you think that the part of your weight gain, it was kind of an isolation? Like you started out thinking he was mad at you, and then it just, now you're mad at me because I have this weight issue. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's almost like it seems, when I think of a temple, you know, I just spoke at the Crystal Cathedral. That is a temple.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. And,
it's very ornate.
And ornate and perfect. And I just was like, how in the world could I ever be like that? And, you know, I had God in a box of what I thought he was, a judge and jury and... You know, but he was also an ever-present help in my time of need and a friend and, you know, a gracious father. And I just, you know, had put him in a box for so many years. And, you know, and I was looking at the Julie that I had created and he was looking at the Julie he created. And somehow they just didn't match.
And Biggest Loser was kind of a first step for you in trying to help kind of reconcile those two Julies.
Yeah, you know, when it happened for me was I was in the gym and my season... We were the black team, and so we didn't come on campus for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, there were three teams that year.
Yeah, and it was we were a surprise team, and we were working out in the desert, and I was with Jillian one day, and we were training, and she kicked me out of the workout, and I was being very obedient, let's just say, because I was afraid of her.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand why, and later she told me it was because... She wanted me to be able to say, why not me instead of why me? Because I was the smallest girl in a game full of percentages. So she kicked me out and I was angry and I didn't know when she was going to let me, you know, come back. And I was, you know, crying out to God and I was frustrated and I was covered in sand. And I was wiping sand off places that I didn't even know existed within my own body.
Wow.
Crevices, you know, and I was like, God, why do you have me here? There's dirt on me and I'm yucky and stinky and sweaty. And God spoke to me in that instant And I had known this verse my whole life, but he brought it back to my mind. And it was Psalms 139, 17, which says, "How precious are your thoughts towards me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they're more in number than the sands."
Right.
Well, I just happened to look down at my hand in that moment, and I couldn't even count the grains of sand that were on my hand. And I thought, wow, if I can't even count the grains of sand on my hand, then obviously, you know, I'm not looking at myself the way he looks at me. Mm-hmm. If he thinks about me so much and he cares about me so much, then his plan for me is perfect. Mm-hmm. And in that instant, I realized how precious I was to God. And I knew, you know, that I wasn't capable of doing this without him. But luckily, he had a really good track record,
yes.
You know, and
yes.
Even though I was the smallest contestant in a game full of percentages, I knew that he had done it before. Look at David and Goliath.
Right.
And that,
right.
You know, I determined at that point that I was going to not whine and complain, but be thankful for this opportunity and work my hardest.
Great, great illustration. Just a word picture. I'm thinking of the grains of sand in the hand and how important we all are to God and how his blessings and love for us.
I have since learned, because I actually researched it, that in like just a teaspoon of sand, there's over 17,000 grains.
Wow.
Think about that.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, if you can even, I mean, your brain can't even comprehend, you know, and it wasn't just the grains of sand on the beach. It was the grains of sand in general. And it's just a picture of how precious and how loved we are by our Heavenly Father.
What a great, inspiring message, and that's the words of Julie Haddon today here on the Homeward broadcast. Julie was on season 4 of NBC's program, Biggest Loser, came just a smidge within winning the whole thing, but God gave her a platform as a result of being on that show to be able to talk to people about the kind of spiritual transformation that also takes place in a person's life when they become a new believer. Her book is called Fat Chance. Today our theme is A Biggest Loser Who Gained Her Worth, and in just a moment we'll hear the conclusion of today's edition of the Homeward broadcast. I'm Roger Marsh. So glad that you're with us today. More from Jim Burns in just a moment.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Lose 25 pounds in just 3 days.
The all-natural doctor-recommended gravel diet will help you grind the pounds away while you sleep.
Eat all the fat your arteries can handle and still lose weight.
Money-back guarantee if you don't lose 100 pounds or more on the all-new Miracle Kelp Clean-Out Diet.
I'm so fat. One of those has to work for me. Mom, I need your credit card.
Two things are happening in the culture that should be alarming to parents. The first is the increasing number of kids struggling with childhood obesity. The second is the number of teenagers who are starving themselves to death. If your child is severely overweight, never let your son or your daughter go on a diet unless it's under doctor supervision. There are just too many get-thin-quick diets that are dangerous for young people. Eating disorders are a lot more common than you might think among today's young people. For my free tip sheet called Helping an Overweight Child, go to homeward.com.
Julie Haddon is here with us on Homeward today. Julie, a biggest loser who gained her worth, and the author of the book called Fat Chance, Losing the Weight, Gaining My Worth. This is such an inspiring story, Julie, I think, because I think of the number. You were a stay-at-home mom before you went on the show. You had to put all of that aside, and that's got to be tough. I mean, I think of the stay-at-home moms who listen to the Homeward broadcast thinking about leaving your family. I mean, basically leaving your job and all your responsibilities for 4 months and just focusing on you. But I was taken by something you wrote in the book. You said, my husband needed a wife. My son needed a mom. And that was one of the themes that kind of kept back in your brain when you're missing them and lonely and saying, no, I really need to do this. And it's okay to do this for me. Did you feel selfish?
I did at first, because even my family, who meant well, would say, how are you going to leave your child?
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that I wasn't the mom that I should be. And that's really what pushed me to the brink of auditioning for a show like The Biggest Loser was, you know, not only had it affected me my whole life, but it was starting to affect my family. I didn't go to my husband's functions because I was embarrassed of the way I looked.
Mm-hmm.
I had a 6-year-old who loved to play soccer, and I literally would go to soccer games and not cheer for him because I didn't want to make a spectacle of myself.
Mm.
Truth be told, my body kept waving long after I did. And I didn't want to block someone's view or something. And the moment of realization came for me. Actually, I live in Florida, and I was taking my son to the pool, and it was 6 o'clock at night, and it was still daylight, of course, but he was swimming in the pool all by himself. And this guilt just overwhelmed me because I was watching him, and, you know, he wasn't swimming at 6 o'clock at night because he didn't have friends to swim with. He was at the pool at that hour because I was embarrassed to be seen in my swimsuit. And I thought, I've got to make a change. This isn't fair. Wow. And I also, you know, had been going through infertility. And not only was it affecting my husband and my son, but my future family, because they told me until I lost weight, I couldn't have any more children.
Well, those are heavy, pardon the pun, I think, issues to deal with. But you had a kind of a trial run at this before. I mean, you talked about in your book that before your Biggest Loser days, you actually went through kind of a dieting season. And actually, did I read this right? You were in a beauty pageant?
Yes. you know, that was my plan, to be Miss America.
Right.
Not Miss Morbidly Obese. That was not, that doesn't sound as pretty.
No.
You don't get a sash for that.
No.
But I, you know, I love to sing and I love to interview. And, you know, I'd watched Miss America since I was little and thought, I want to do that. And, you know, the swimsuit just killed me every single time.
Right.
And I just realized that that was never, you know, it was a hard lesson to learn, but I just was never going to look the way I needed to look in my swimsuit. And it was because I was crash dieting and I was, you know, doing whatever it took to lose weight for a pageant and to fit into a dress or to be in someone's wedding. Or, you know, I never actually changed my life. I just changed my habits for a few weeks to get into something that I wasn't really meant to fit into. Anyway.
Right, right, right. But part of that process, though, I mean, one of the residual benefits of being involved in pageant life is that not where you met your husband?
It is. You know, I saw him at a pageant one day. He was...
Was he competing also?
Yes. He looks great in a swimsuit,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, I'll bet.
You know, he was there and I met him and I remember thinking, you know, oh, he's a nice guy, but I just never dreamt that in that world he would even notice me.
You kind of figured you guys could be friends maybe, but the dating thing was never going to happen.
No, and you know, I don't know, it worked out and he ended up being, you know, the guy of my dreams. Of course, he was a guy of all those girls' dreams, so I thought, I don't have a chance, but you know.
Well, you and Mike were married, and then after, of course, you got married again, the old pattern comes back in, because like you mentioned, you were just crash dieting at this point. You weren't trying to make a lifestyle change. It was just, I've got to get ready for somebody's wedding, so I need to lose 20 pounds or whatever it was.
Yeah, and you know what? My husband made it worse. And not because he's a bad person, but because he loved me so much.
Right.
You know, here I am. I had always struggled with my weight, but I had a certain amount of clothes that I fit into. And when I started to get too big for those clothes, I would just crash diet and try to get back into them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I got married, I would come home and say something like, oh, these pants are tight, you know, I don't look good. And I would walk into the bedroom and there'd be 10 new pairs of pants laid out in the next size up. Because he was like, well, I don't want you to feel bad about yourself. And so I was like, that's so sweet.
Let's go to dinner. Yeah,
and
exactly.
So I fit into those pants. And then when I got too big for those, he would buy me a new dress or something. And it just, over the course of, you know, several years, my weight just got out of control.
So did he have to have the same kind of aha moment that you did before you guys could kind of be on the same page as far as this? Or was this all Julie saying, sorry, buddy, no more clothes shopping for you. I'm going to do this.
No, I think that, you know, he had watched The Biggest Loser with me. And, you know, we both would sit and split a pizza and watch it like the rest of America and think, oh, we could do that. And so when I decided to audition for it, he said that he thought, she doesn't have a shot, but go ahead, honey, I'll support you. He never really dreamed that it would come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
And then as it got closer and closer and closer, he thought, well, even if she makes it, oh, a little bit of her goes a long way. She'll be back in a week. And, you know, he didn't even realize that I was serious, because I do everything with someone else. I was very social. So to try something like this on my own was different for me.
You have a quote from your book, which is called Fat Chance, Losing the Weight, Gaining My Worth by Julie Haddon from The Biggest Loser. I'm going to read this quote and I want to get your reaction to it. One of the most sobering realizations I made during my Biggest Loser stint was that I'd spent a good portion of my life not trusting a single soul. As you think about your weight loss journey, and you talked earlier about the conversations you had with God when you were at when you were on the set and saying, okay, it's just you and me and I don't get this. Talk about the trust factor, because you'd experienced a certain measure of hurt. We talked earlier before recording about your parents' divorce and how you were the funny fat kid and stuff like that. But talk about the trust issue and how that has changed for you since your Biggest Loser experience.
Well, I think that the trust issue came because I never really felt like I could be honest with anyone because I was just as miserable about my weight as everyone in my family was. Mm-hmm. But when someone says something to you like, oh, you have such a pretty face. If you would just lose that weight, you could have any guy you wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, that basically in my head I heard, oh, well, you're really, you know, you have a nice face, but everything else is the pits. Mm-hmm. And so my weight became personal to me, and I would never even, I almost made it as if I was happy to be overweight, you mm-hmm. know, who mm-hmm. cares?
Yeah.
I like to eat. And so I didn't feel like I could trust anyone because if I truly told them that I was miserable, then I would be accountable. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it just became a secret addiction really, where I kept, you know, I kept it to myself and I was very, I don't know, ugly towards people if they brought it up. You know, almost like, well, you're saying I'm not good enough.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I didn't feel like I could trust people in my life with the most sincere struggles that I was having.
I want to give you another quote here as we conclude this segment. You wrote, "The most important thing that I learned is that you and I are worthy of living the life of our dreams." Mm. That kind of turned the table. I loved your countenance, how it changed a little bit when you heard those words again. Talk about that.
Well, that's exactly what we were created for.
Yeah.
You know, a purpose. And, I, you know, since I've been doing book promotions for this book, I've realized that worthiness is a really touchy subject. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. It's almost like in our society, we kind of think if you say you're worthy of something, it's like saying you're better than someone else. Mm. And that's not at all what the word means. If you look it up in the dictionary, it means having value. And I think that God has proven over and over again through his word just how valuable we are to him.
Amen.
And so I think that you need to stand, you know, firm on that and realize that you're worthy of living the life you were created to live.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you get that in your head, everything changes because what I realized is what you value, you treat better.
Mm. Great comment. When you talk to moms, when you're, because stay-at-home mom, I'm sure that you hear from a lot of moms, and we got a lot of moms listening to this program saying, okay, if she can do it, I remember this woman, I want to find out. What's the first piece of advice that you give to a mom who's in a situation, maybe morbidly obese, or maybe just trying to knock down 30 pounds of baby fat after a couple of kids came along? What's the best first step advice that you give them?
Make yourself a priority. And that seems really selfish, but in the long run, you're so much better, you know, as a mom, as a wife. And even, you know, in the Bible, God gives the illustration of the virtuous woman. Mm-hmm. And I did not like her for a long time because I thought she was an overachiever. You know,
yeah,
she gets
really
up early. She
buying fields and stuff like that. Yeah.
She's got her own money, blah, blah, blah. And what I realized when I went back and read those verses is that she made herself a priority.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. You know, it says that her arms were strong for the task, which meant that she physically took care of herself.
Mm-hmm.
And it said that she, you know, she did awaken early, which means that she was a priority. And sometimes when you are trying to change your life, it's going to take sacrifice. If your kids are up early, you may have to be up earlier or stay up later.
And that's not easy for you because you're not a morning person.
And no, I am not. And I don't usually talk before 9 o'clock because I might say something ugly.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've had to, you know, especially when my son Jackson came along, he was a newborn baby and I had just come off The Biggest Loser and I couldn't work out because I had this newborn baby and I started to panic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I went to my husband and said, you know, I'm going to lose it. You know, like I have to work out. Like I cannot go back to where I was. And so we decided that a couple mornings a week while I worked out, we would put him with a sitter. And you'd be shocked at the way my family acted about that.
Mm.
You know, here I am. I'm a stay-at-home mom. What in the world are you thinking? You know?
Right, right.
And so I just, you know, we decided, my husband and I, that needed to be a priority. And you know what? He is still alive and thriving.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing.
It's a miracle.
He's alive and well. And, you know, and it's nice for me to get a break. And I think that, you know, all moms need to make themselves a priority so that they can be exactly what they want to be.
Mm. How often have we heard Dr. Jim Burns on this very program say that self-care is not self fish. And that's so important, especially for moms and going through the types of things that Julie Haddon did. It's been a privilege to spend some time here today on the Homeward broadcast with Julie Haddon, a Biggest Loser Who Gained Her Worth. Julie's book is called Fat Chance. And if you go to homeward.com and hit the radio broadcast tab,
Just go ahead and follow the links along there, and you can find Julie's name and more about her outstanding ministry. I love watching her on Facebook and other forms of social media. Every time Biggest Loser season's on, she'll kind of handicap a little bit, you know, who's doing this and who's doing that. It's encouraging knowing that she's such a strong woman of faith who shares that. And as I mentioned earlier, God's given her this tremendous platform, and we're grateful to have had the time with her. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for part two of my conversation with Julie Haddon right here on Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.